Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to The Grove Podcast. Today, we get the real treat of hearing from the amazing Joel Houston. As many of you know, Joel is a worship leader with Hillsong United, and he's one of the prolific worship songwriters of our generation. He's really written on a significant number of the songs that we're all singing in church right now, and honestly have been for many years. He's also a husband and father and all around just gifted artist. And today we'll hear a conversation that he recently shared with Shelley Giglio. Joel and United joined us for Passion Conference this year and helped ring in 2020 with about 65,000 students worshiping at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And he and Shelley jump right in talking about some of those incredible moments we shared. So here's Shelley with Joel Houston.
Hello.
Hey, it's Joel.
Hey, Joel, it's Shelley.
Shelley.
Hello.
Listen to your voice.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I know it's like salve to your soul, bro.
What do you mean? Sad to my soul.
Just here for it.
I'm actually mad that I can't see you. That's the only thing.
I know, because I am such a lovely sight today. You're really missing out. So feel bad for you, but
all right.
Some days it just works out. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for talking to us today. What a treat for me.
It was a treat for me. Are you in Atlanta?
I'm in Atlanta. I'm sitting in the studio downstairs from my office and just kind of having a full day, but happy to be here right now.
Yeah, well, thanks for letting me do this. It's great. My good. Can we talk for a second about how unbelievable it was when 2019 became 2020 and then also the next 2 days?
That we were standing in the same room together with our mouths on the floor.
I can't actually believe that really happened in real life. It's wild.
Do you know that after Passion, I had to go back and watch the video to honestly figure out if it was real?
The whole thing.
I can say, like, did that happen? Were my friends here? Did something go down here? Was it like the most monumental thing ever? Or did I dream this whole thing?
No,
so it was a special few days for sure.
There were a few witnesses there, you know, to make sure that it was a reality. My
help.
Goodness. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, it
was,
it does.
It left me, I'm still kind of recovering from that experience. It was wild.
Yeah, I think there was so much goodness to it, and we don't have to talk about or need to talk about Passion the whole time, but it definitely is a good reference point. I thought just the beauty of you guys standing on the stage as sort of the decade turned for everyone, the way you were leading a song, A Good Grace, that really talks about Jesus at the center of everything and his name being proclaimed, that is our hope for the decade. He is the one who will bring us through. It just felt like the timing, the song, the spirit of what kind of we've all walked to get to this moment. I don't know. It just was so life-giving, I think, in so many ways for us, for you guys to be with us in that moment. So thank you for doing that.
No, thank you. It was wild.
It was wild.
Yeah. Still speechless.
So I was thinking, just thinking about you in particular, just thinking about your growing up. And part of the thing that's so amazing about you is your family. And I'm guessing part of the challenge of your life has also been your family. And being a pastor's kid is kind of an interesting role to be in. I think for a lot of people, it's an excuse to kind of be the way they are as an adult. Because I grew up in
what does that mean?
Well, I grew up in this environment. I grew up in a fishbowl. Everybody was staring at me my whole life. That's why I'm weird, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
But I feel like you've used it less as an excuse and more as a launching pad. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting. I think the thing about families often, at least, you know, none of us really get to choose our family at first, at least. And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really, you just live, you know, once you get a little bit older, you can't kind of start to go, oh, hang on. This is what I'm a part of. And I think, you know, I'm so grateful to my parents, like, cause I can't speak for everybody else's experience growing up in church, that is, or as a pastor's kid or whatever else. But, you know, I look back at it now and I just see how good both my mum and dad were in their own way of shepherding us children in particular, allowing us to kind of just creating space for us to kind of figure out the journey for ourselves. And so I think in that there's a whole lot of grace And it probably got to a point where, you know, you start to make decisions on what you're going to do with your own life, what your own relationship with Jesus looks like, what that, how you're going to play that out. And I think, you know, you said it then that where there might have been excuses, they became a launch pad. I think the journey for me was one of, this might sound, it's paradoxical. So it's one of those ones where, you know, you could look at it both ways, but every single time I found a reason or an excuse or I had a desire to kind of want to charge in my own direction or in another direction, it felt like God would put something in the way or redirect my path in a really, you know, in a way that only makes sense in hindsight, looking back at it. But that I look at now and go, okay, like God had a plan here. And, you know, I would be left at some point coming to a place, usually on my knees, in life where I looked around and it was almost like there wasn't another choice, but also all the choices that were there, if I was honest, they were just selfish ones. And, I think the journey of surrender to God's will, however you want to frame it, for me, is one where I can't, like, I really just have to give God a whole lot of credit and praise because I feel like he shaped my path in a certain way that, that I certainly can't take credit for and I'm grateful for now. But in the journey, in the process, it didn't look so awesome.
Right.
So I'm grateful to be a pastor's kid. I'm grateful to, like, I'm so, to me, it's the greatest blessing in the world to be a part of the family I'm a part of, my personal family, my church family. And it's really, if there's anything that I've learned from it, is that it was an environment at home and at church where there was room for us to kind of express our own journey of faith and our own, you know, I could kind of do everything I wanted to do within the walls of church, you know,
and unreal.
And I love that. And I think if there's anything now that, you know, when I talk to other friends, I've got a lot of friends who grew up in church life and had, you know, different experiences and some have taken different roads or go about their journey in a different way. I look at it and I go, man, like, perhaps they weren't afforded the same opportunities, the room to kind of, like, you know, room for activities almost.
Yeah.
But to just, like, kind of explore. And I certainly want to make sure now, here and now, you know, for us, when it comes to the next generation, I mean, my own family, but when I think about the kids coming through our church, I think what's most important is that we keep making room for people to kind of express who they are and what they're passionate about within our churches and within our families. And if we don't do that, you know, then it's going to be no surprise when people start looking elsewhere or running in different directions. You know?
That's such a good word. I feel like just to circle back around your family's exceptional in every way. And I think the way they've allowed you to find yourself in that is so beautiful. You were raised and around very strong women, which I love. Your mom is amazingly mm-hmm. strong. Your sister is amazingly strong. Your wife now is amazingly strong. How have you kind of just managed to live in a world where you could prefer that in a way? How do you think you came to that point in your life where that became not just a tolerance, but a preference?
Do you mean being around strong women?
Yeah. I mean, because I think when it came picking a wife, you picked somebody similar.
Yeah, well, I got somebody who challenged me in all the right ways. Again, I think God knew, you know, my mom, I used to tell my mom when I was a very single man, I actually couldn't envision anybody who I could see myself with for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I used to tell mom it's because she'd ruined me for anybody else, you know, because my mom was just so amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
And I watched the way that she kind of was able to support my dad and just boss the home in a really positive way and be a friend. You know, mom was always a friend to me. I always saw my mom like almost like more like a friend than I did a mother. Mm. But she was able to do all of that and then in her own kind of right, still, you know, like lead. And I think my mom doesn't get the credit she deserves when it comes to when people look at Hillsong, you know, it's obviously my dad, he's a visionary and he's, you know, he's got his big voice and he preaches and he's that guy. But my mom, she's the one who from day dot, my earliest memories are her, you know, just like you know, early hours of the morning working on like little art things to make the foyer look nice. You know, she's the creative in the whole thing. And she's so much of what you see in our church now stems from my mum's passion to just pour everything into the detail, the little things that make, you know, I think a big difference in the scheme of things. And that runs now through all that we do. And, you know, I think my sister, you know, is the same. She's in her own right, just grown into an incredible woman. She's so passionate about people. It convicts me. And then what I found in my wife was somebody who just challenged me to the core and still does to this day. And she's obviously very beautiful and, you know, but she took me by surprise. And I always just pray to God, like, God, you know, I want a partner in life who's just going to take me by surprise. And she did in every single kind of way. And again, I'm grateful to God, you know, because it's like I couldn't script it if I tried. That's the journey of faith and trusting God is, I used to go to bed at night and pray like, God, I know she's out there somewhere, you know, she's alive somewhere, she's breathing now. I don't know what she looks like. I don't know what her name is, but you do, like, God, when it's right, you know, it'll all come together. And again, it's one of those things that sometimes you can take for granted, but when you look back in hindsight, it's just, I'm just grateful, you know? And I think for me, it's the role of what women bring at home, in our churches, in culture, it's so precious. And there's a power to it. There's guts. There's things that only my mum can say and only my wife can say that hit home with me, you know? And I think I think that's true across the board, you know?
Yeah, it's a gift. And your mom early on wrote a book called Heaven Is in This House, I believe is the name of the book. And and man, it's life-shaping to hear her heart for people and them finding the fullness of who they are. And I think that bleeds through so much of you, Joel, just in your music and what you create for people. It's like you're helping them envision that there's so much more. And I think as a songwriter, you're one of the very best. And I think one of those reasons is because you describe God in a way that makes us believe that there's more to Him. But you also involve us in a way that makes it seem like we get to be in on that. And the combination of the two ideas, that God is actually larger than what we can perceive, understand, or even imagine, but that He's also such an invitational God, drawing us into, hey, come along with me in this journey in life and let my glory be your story. And somehow you're able to web the two of those together. Is that intentional in what you're creating, or is it just who you are? I mean, how is that coming together?
I mean, it's very good. You articulated that better than I could ever imagine. It's very kind. I think I love the mystery of God, you know? I just love that the journey, you know, like we've never fully arrived, you know, yet. And it's what keeps us waking up in the morning and pressing in and that journey aspect to, you know, that pilgrimage, that sense of like, hey, there's more to discover here. I think I really struggled. Like I hated music, to be honest, when I was a kid. I've told this story before, but I was kind of forced to play piano, and it's just like, okay, like learn this song, play these scales, practice this. And it was just death to me.
At least 30 minutes. You're like, man, that might be the end of my life.
it was the worst. It was just the bane of my existence. And one day my piano teacher, he said to me, you know, look, this week you've got no task, no job. You don't have to do any scales, don't have to do anything. And I think he probably figured out that, you know, there wasn't a lot of passion in my my practice. And he said, you've got one job, it's to write a song. And I remember looking at him going, like, what do you mean, like, write a song? And he's like, just write a song. And I said, well, like how? Like you can do that? You can just write a song as somebody who can't even really play the piano? And he's like, yeah, just start with a note and then just move from there and just play whatever you feel until you like it and it sounds good. All of a sudden, this keyboard that was the bane of my existence, suddenly like it was like a world of opportunity. It's like the whole thing opened up.
Wow.
And I remember thinking like, you know, there's 12 notes there, and within those 12 notes are infinite melodies and infinite possibilities. And just all of a sudden, it's like I got a picture of who God was as a teenager trying to figure out who God was, the God of my parents, the God of the Bible, the God of, you know, who at that point is kind of as real to me as Santa Claus, to be honest.
Right.
But I saw within these kind of like these limited notes, this idea of infinite possibilities and creativity and art and beauty and possibility, all those things. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, okay, because I'm a very insecure little teenager here who doesn't feel like I can amount to much in and of myself. But within my limitation, you're saying that there's infinite possibilities because that's who God is.
Wow.
And so it opened my eyes, and then it has ever since. This, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm staring at my piano as I'm speaking to you. And last night at some point, I spray painted, I'm regretting it right now, but above it, I spray painted the words, "Are we there yet?" with a question mark. Hmm. And the reason being, because I was just thinking like, hey, there's always another song. There's always more to say about God. There's always more that God wants to reveal to us. Like, God has fully revealed himself in Jesus. And yet the paradox of it is there's so much more for us to see and understand because our eyes are still being opened.
Yeah.
And I think that's the opportunity we have with music. So for me, it's such a joy. Like it's my devotion. Everything. It's what fuels me more than anything is I just want to dig in and allow kind of the mystery of how music works to unwrap the mystery of who God is in ways that I think is, to be honest, is for me actually really selfish.
Yeah.
It's just my love language, I think. And I'm okay with saying that now. And at the same time, you know, there's a utility to it and there's an opportunity that you can discover or in partnership, you know, work together music and melody and words, lyrics that somehow intertwine and allow the Spirit of God to work in ways that defy all the nonsense of our own brains. That, to me, I mean, we can talk day and night with people about like God, and we can argue politics and we can argue this and we can argue all these things. And there's so many walls and divisions in the way that we communicate as human beings, but there's something about a song that can just pierce through all of that and cut straight to the heart.
So true.
And so, man, that's what we're after, right? That's what I think why we do what we do. And there's just still more to come.
Man, I feel like the way you do it, though, is so unusual and so creative, but it's so powerful for us listening. I think about listening to the album People for the very first time. And I think hearing a heart for God through your voice, through obviously your whole team's voice, that I had never really sensed on an album before. I'd never heard people cry to God or out about God in a way that felt more compelling. And to have that kind of collection on a piece of work that you put your hand and labor to, I don't even know how you manage stewarding something that feels that way to people without it becoming about yourself. I feel like what you're saying about your songwriting is that you're dying to yourself as you're doing it, and yet you're more alive than ever. And I'm like, that is the craziest paradox, I guess, of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It is. And, you know, obviously, I think I struggled, you know, you saying that, I struggled with, you know, the concept of what it means to, you know, it's, you know, to die to ourselves, to pick up our cross and daily and all of that thing, you know, like as, you know, even as a young person with a revelation of the gospel, you know, what does that look like for each and every single one of us? And I think there's a lot more grace, and sometimes it can seem like a morbid sense, but it is obviously dying to our selfish desires and whatnot. But I think God is so much better than what we realize, because what he does is he gives us passions and he gives us gifts and he gives us people and he gives us communities and he gives us opportunity. That if our eyes are, you know, if we don't open our eyes to it, you know, you can might feel like, you know, you don't have what you need. The truth is God gives us, all of us, exactly what we need to do whatever it is he's calling us to do. And I think the choice is to commit yourself to whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
With a desire for others. It's that simple. And so I think for me, I can write songs selfishly because it's almost the way that I chase God for myself or search him out for myself or just, you know, and yet in it, the paradox is that it's constantly, you're thinking about how this can help somebody else. And I think one of the things that helped me in my songwriting was not to kind of overcomplicate the outcome of a song. Like, this is a song that's going to work on radio. This is a song that's going to be sung in churches everywhere. It just needs to be much more organic than that. And yet what helped me is more to think about an individual. So if there's a song that I was writing that was kind of reflecting maybe some course of doubt or question that I had with God that I couldn't quite reconcile. Mm. I think what helps me in the process is to think about somebody I know who may be going through something similar or experiencing something like that, or sometimes just make up an imaginary person that, and kind of go, okay, well, how would this song answer or meet them where their questions yeah. are, or lift their eyes to see, you know, more of God's beauty in that moment, whatever it might be. And it becomes very simple at that point, you know, and I think, you know, with people like it, that album, I think it came out of a season where I didn't think we were striving. But now when I look back on it, I go, okay, there was a lot going on there that I couldn't see at the time. And a lot of kind of working through seasons that on the other side of it, you know, I kind of, it was like kind of waking up again, like almost being like reborn into just the simpleness, like the simple wonders and the simple beauties of this gift we have. And finding it again, you know, when you find something that you just completely forgotten about and yeah. it's like you rediscover it and it's like there's more value treasure. In it than,
yeah,
than the first time. And I think that was it. And it was, for me, it was just church. It was just, man, like God, he made no mistakes when church was his idea, you know?
Right.
And there's so much beauty in all of the messy parts and, the idea that it's just made up of a whole lot of people just like us who are all on that same journey and we work, we get to journey through together. Well, there's a song for that, you know? And so I think it was coming back to that. This is what we're about after 20 years of doing it. I think that's what's reflected in that album. And that's why we called it People, you know, at the end of the day, because that's what the church is. And that's what the church is, needs to be about, is actually understanding that everybody has value. Everybody has a purpose that God, his goodness exists for everybody. And we need to get that message out. So there's something about the simplicity of it all at the end of the day. I think when we just have a tendency to overcomplicate everything in life and whatever, wherever people are at in the journey, whether it's in your relationship or whether it's, you know, in your career or whatever you're going through, sometimes when it feels like it's all becoming chaotic and a bit too much, I think the answer is always right there in front of us, and just like peeling back the layers, rewinding all the tensions until you find that foundational core thing at the heart of it, and then building again from that place. That's, and I think so that's good, that's kind of the journey of it, you know.
Yeah, that's so good and so helpful to people, I think, who feel like life is just a big ball of confusion, you know. So, yeah. So when you led in Atlanta, when you guys were on tour recently, I was able to be there that night. And I think my comment to you after that night was just, I've known you a long time, but I've never seen you be more yourself than in that moment. And obviously anybody who's lived long knows that we, have to find ourselves through a process that it doesn't come easily or quickly. But that in the process of finding yourself and your voice and sort of your heartbeat, you figure out how to then express yourself from that. I feel like you're in that zone, and it hasn't come without a lot of hardship or difficulty, but you're kind of arriving in some ways in that place. What do you think about that? Do you think that's accurate?
I do. I for the last couple of years, I've, you know, just, it's a bit weird, but referred to myself as Joel 2.0. And I guess that's, you know, I just turned 40. You know, there's definitely some element of midlife crisis,
definitely.
You know, in there somewhere. But I think, you know, God really, there's a journey, the journey I went through, it's not unique. I think it's something that everybody goes through, but was one of just out of nowhere, like subtle kind of things that crept up in me that I didn't like. Hmm. And that I'd never really dealt with, weird comparison things that I started sensing that I, you know, I didn't feel, hadn't felt since I was like a kid. Mm. And all these little things that were quite disturbing, to be honest. And I was like, I thought I was beyond this. I thought we'd figure this out, God. Like, and what I didn't, you know, obviously what I see now is that God was just wanting to peel some layers off and crack through some hard shells and whatever else, I'd allowed to kind of, build up in my heart or whatever. But there was definitely a moment where again, it felt like an awakening, a personal one. It's like awareness, you know. And I think one of my biggest fears is not being aware. You know, if you're not aware that you have bad breath, then you're not going to do anything about it. If you're not aware about something, the whole point of awareness, if you're unaware, is that you are unaware, and so that scares me.
Yeah, same.
And I just went through this process of like, maybe everyone hates me. Like, maybe I'm a jerk. Maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe I'm only here because of whose kid I am. Maybe it just became this. The enemy kind of just jumped on this lack of confidence that became like a spiral that kind of just led into, a pretty dark place, or basically despondency, if I can be honest with you, just a sense of purposelessness.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who, if I'm honest, I've never really felt like I've had like a clear purpose. I just know that it's to be obedient to what's ever in front of me, to try and do that in a way that is not self-serving, and to, you know, to trust God with the rest of it. And yet, on the other side of this kind of season, this moment of suddenly waking up and going, oh my gosh, I think, and I'm even reluctant to say it now, like, I felt like God gave me a purpose.
Yeah, crazy, amazing.
It's so simple, but it just made sense to me, and it made sense to all the questions I had about, you know, the future and whatnot. And it was as simple as this, like, it's weird to say, but this is what I feel like my purpose is for the first time in my life. It's weird saying this to you, but... just very simply, like, be the person that you wish you had at every stage of your life to other people.
Wow, that's so good.
And so, you know, for me, I looked at it and, okay, cool. Well, like, who does the 22-year-old kid in our church or in our team, like, who, if that was me, like, who did I need at that time? And trying to be that person to that person, giving them opportunity, believing in them, like, helping them, whatever it looks like. And it applies to everyone, anywhere. And it's like, I guess that the simple scripture, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. I guess it's in some weird way just an application of that. But to me, I go, I can do this for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And I can love that. And it means that every step of the journey, there's something for me to wake up and do, and to use my energy and gifts and opportunities to help serve is to help just people along the journey, and to do it not from a point of view of aspiration, personal aspiration, but a sense of actually aspiring to help those people in whatever it is that they dream to be and become. And I don't know, that side of it just gave me a new lease of life, because then I was able to get up there on tour, you know, and revel in just going, there's people here. There's some kid like me here who's, you know, 16 and insecure, or just doubting, questioning God, or wondering at what point they can run for the hills. And okay, what are we going to use this 2.5 hours we've got to do to help that kid see God in a way where they understand that they have a unique purpose in God's plan? That fed me like through the whole process. And I think that if there was anything that was different on the other side, I guess coming around the big circle back to your question, I think what getting up on stage with that simple kind of mission, if that's the word, it just was energizing in so many beautiful ways. It takes all the pressure off, you know. It's not like we're there to impress anybody. We had like stage and lighting to do that, but we're just there to like help people, man. It's always when you come back to that simple truth, man, all the pressure's gone, you know, like it's like, the striving gets taken out of it. You're just present, and you're just allowing God to do whatever he wants to do. And that's something I would say, and I've always believed that we've done, but I'm saying it now on the other side of something, and it feels truer. And the release, like I'm just more grateful than ever to be a part of it. It's amazing.
We feel that. I mean, I think, you know, I'm not the 16-year-old kid who was standing there being inspired by you, but I'm quite a bit older than that, but still felt the same inspiration. And I think what I felt standing there as you led the night and really pastored the room was that I felt like I was seen, I felt like I was appreciated, and I felt like I was invited. And all of that didn't feel like it was for your purpose of being known or famous. It all felt like it was about a fame that was a lot bigger than yours. And Joel, when you can stand in a place where obviously people adore you, obviously people want to be around you and hear from you, but you can make it about somebody other than you, it's one of the most powerful things you will ever experience in life. And I do think, like so many have spoken over your life, that you'll never go back. You know, no one ever exceeds their expectation as far as caring about people and then returns to putting themselves at the center. You can't go back. You just can't. Once you see that there's a point to your life that reaches somebody other than yourself, you'll live the rest of your life like that, and we'll all be the benefit of that. And so I just wanted to say today, collectively from our crew, thank you. Thank you for doing whatever the hard work was so that you could get to the point where you could lead us in that way. We're grateful for you.
Well, on behalf of our crew, I'll say that we are grateful for you. I mean, you guys embody everything you just said. I mean, we talked about it before, but as I was talking just before, I was thinking about that moment, like, you know, you're kind of standing on stage in front of all those people at that time, in that moment, and looking around, and I'm thinking, it's just like you get to be a witness, you know? Just got to do it from a really nice kind of viewpoint. But it was almost like you said it. It was when we were there, passion. I'm talking about passion. You're just a part of the room, and God is doing something that is so far beyond all that's happening with the lighting and the production and all the immense amount of detail that went into pulling that thing off. And you get there and you get to share in this experience where it's like you're just a witness to something far greater. I think that is, like, if there's anything that I long for in life, it's just to be part of more moments like that where, it's built on the blood, sweat, tears, prayers, you know, resources of so many people.
Yeah.
And yet once you're in it, it's just like, it's got its own momentum. I think that's what we're all seeking to build and be part of. And there's just so much power to unity and what we have in the church. I think, you know, you and Louis lead that charge in such an immense way. It's just awesome, I guess, to just bear witness to what God's doing through you guys. It's epic.
Thank you. We believe in it and we're in it together. So we're grateful for you. Love you lots, Joel. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Shelley. Bye.
We trust you're super inspired from today's episode. And if you're like us, probably have a handful of people you know would love to hear it. So go ahead and text them the link and leave us a kind review while you're at it so we can keep spreading the love of the Grove podcast far and wide. And stay tuned in with us on Instagram at @PCC_TheGrove to stay updated on this podcast and all things Grove related. And we'll catch you next time on the Grove podcast.